a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
Well, happy new year and welcome to a very special episode of the Confessions podcast, your favourite podcast in all the world. Courtesy, of course, from Greatest Hits Radio. And this is a real treat as we are bringing you the cream of the confessions back from 2025, all of last year. Over the past year, we've had some incredible stories, assorted pranks, various embarrassing tales, and downright outrageous illegal confessions. And what more could you want to start 2026 than a countdown of the top 10 confessions of 2025? That's what this is, part one of the top 10 confessions, if you followed that, Matt. Part one.
Yes, part one.
So this is going to go from 10 to 6, if I've got that right, Holly.
Yes, indeed.
And then the second part goes from 5 to 1.
Yeah.
Radical.
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Happy New Year to Sister Susie.
Happy New Year.
With a bit more feeling, I think.
Happy New Year. Well, yay.
What was that? Oh, that's better. Yeah.
Digital champagne pop.
Woohoo!
I mean, I know it's bank holiday in Scotland, but does anybody want do they want champagne on the second?
Always.
Apparently we do, yes.
We're not all over all that.
What's a Friday night? I'm saying night, it could be in the day. And I suppose that's a celebration in itself.
In which case, for you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Even though you don't drink it because it hasn't got a coconut in it.
No.
That's true.
So it's 10 to 6 on this podcast and then another podcast. When does 5 to 1 turn up?
Right now.
Right now.
Get it. Well, don't get it right now, but you can
No, listen to this one first. It's landed adjacent. So part 2 has landed... Just trying to make this straightforward.
I'm glad this is all clear. No. Let's talk
I've
about
got these
this.
Instructions from the Swedish furniture company.
Yeah.
There are two podcasts.
They
both landed at the same time. 10 to 6 and 5 to 1.
5 to 1, yeah. Yep.
Got Thank it. You.
Easy
and this
easy.
Is the 10 to 6 one.
It is.
It is.
Even though it's 4:30. Anyway, let's get on with it. Okay, so here we go at number 10. By the way, if you'd like to know how we arrived at the 10 to 1... thing, you know, why is number one number one? Why is number 10 number 10? There is an ancient formula which is handed down from druids to priests.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's been passed on to us. We've used that formula to gauge the merit of each confession. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Yeah, 100%. That's what we did. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Anyway, here we go. Number 10. This is Tom's confession. It ain't easy being green.
Shh. You won't tell anyone.
What's your secret?
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
So today's confession comes from Tom, first of the week, from Tom. Thank you, Tom, Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. There's some dodgy behaviour in here. It's a little sordid.
Sordid?
I think so.
Sordid.
I need to finally confess something that happened over 20 years ago. Back in February 2001, I was nursing a bruised and battered heart. I'd flown to Spain to try and rekindle a relationship with a Finnish girl who split up with me whilst Love is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating was playing on the radio.
Oh, no.
I've hated that song ever since. And Ronan, to be honest.
No.
Sorry, Aww. Ronan. Not his fault.
No.
I never got the chance to meet her again, and brokenhearted, I went to stay with my friend Wendy, who lives in the... I'm just going to check this with Matt. Aljaras.
No. Right.
Near Granada in Andalusia.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go with that then.
Alpujarras. There. Yes. One night, she drove us to a party a few hours away. Well, since the party was so far from her house, we were staying with some of her friends who lived in a small hamlet that had been abandoned by the locals but taken over by hippies and other eco-minded people.
Right. Yeah. No running water then.
The party was at another eco-commune in the countryside in Almería province.
Fabulous.
And most of the people there obviously knew each other very well. It's fair to say they were pretty fanatical about their eco-credentials. It's not that I disagreed with them on climate change or being vegan, but the party guests were a bit crusty, shall we say, a bit unforgiving of anyone who didn't have the same beliefs as they did. I also probably wasn't the best company. I was feeling very sorry for myself, what with that Finnish woman, and I felt pretty miserable at being dumped, and it was Ronan Keating's fault. Anyway, they weren't exactly welcoming. The first mistake I made was to mention that I wasn't vegetarian when I jokingly said that the bean stew could do with a bit of beef being in it. Half the guests stopped talking to me then. The second mistake was to explain that I had flown to Spain and not driven or got the train. One woman actually turned her back on me, muttering something unrepeatable about how I was killing the planet. So there was nothing left to do except sit by the fire, stare at the beautiful stars and drink lots of very rough wine and drown my sorrows, always drinking responsibly. I have no idea what time we drove back to her friend's house, but it was late and I was rather the worse for wear. Wendy hadn't been drinking as she was driving, and within minutes I fell into a deep sleep. What I didn't know until after is that poor Wendy had to drive home on a very cold night with the window open as I was snoring in the old sense of the word and trumping all the way home.
Oh, right.
Because of the bean stew. When we got to our friend's eco house, I had sobered up a bit, and our friend showed us our room and then explained the toilet in the bathroom. As it was on the eco farm, there was a compost toilet. I remember hearing something about a sit-down loo for one thing and then there was a blue bucket for the other thing.
Okay.
I got into the bathroom and there was a large blue barrel by the door with a small footstool near it, and I lifted the lid of the barrel. It smelled a little bit dodgy, but it was also nearly full to the brim. It seemed a bit weird to have such a large barrel to wee in, but anyway, if you're bursting, you're bursting. So I took the lid off, I stood on the footstool and did what I had to do. I then put the lid back on and went to bed. The next day, I had the most raging hangover, obviously, not helped by Wendy complaining about how she'd had to drive home in the cold because of my drunken antics. In the daylight, the freeholding where Wendy's friends lived was lovely. They showed us around and explained how they recycled the compost loo. "Oh, and we make our own wine as well," she said.
Oh, no.
"Would you like to try some?" Now, I was still feeling a little worse for wear and couldn't face another drink, but she insisted we'd try. "It's almost ready," she carried on. "In fact, you saw it already. It's in the bathroom. In the huge blue barrel by the door." I had an awful feeling in my stomach that had nothing to do with the hangover. What I hadn't seen in my state was that there was a small blue bucket next to the toilet, and obviously this was not the same as the massive barrel next to the door. I came back and made my excuses for not having any wine. Wendy was driving, so she didn't have any either, but there was no way I could say anything. A year or so later, I actually met the wine-producing couple again at another party. They talked about their vintage year of homemade wine and how good it was and how I had clearly missed out. "Well, Father Simon, I'd like to beg your forgiveness, not for watering down the wine, because frankly, I think I probably improved it no end. I do not wish to apologise for flying to Spain or eating meat, though we should all be wary of things like that. I would like to beg forgiveness from Wendy, who had to drive home in the middle of the night in the freezing cold whilst I snored and burped and created my own greenhouse gases. It's an awful thing to do to a friend, and I am truly repentant." I think we've noticed that actually she also drove all the time. You seem to do no driving at all. She just drove all the time. I'm not quite sure about your personality or your character, Tom. But anyway, this will be judged by Sister Susie right now. Here we go.
Yeah, Tom, I'm not sure how sorry he is, really. And, like, I almost forgave just for the hippie Hamlet and how much Matt wouldn't like to be there.
Matt
which
would
I thought
have
would be
loved
quite funny. And the compost toilet and all of that. But, you know, use your brain. Like, that you're not going to have a huge barrel that you're going to have to stand on a step to pee in, are you? That's just, like, maybe you should have asked and being like, "Is this really where I need to do a number one?" And then the answer would be no. And yeah, no, I can't believe that you made people drink that. No, not forgiven, Tom. Disgusting.
I feel worse now that Susie's been so condemnatory. But what do you say, brother?
I'm going to forgive. Who keeps the homemade wine in the loo? That seems a little bit like it's asking for trouble, really. I don't think that's such a good idea. Also, not a massive fan of bean stew, or indeed lots of people having a go at me because I once got on a plane, or eco communes, or any of that. I do agree that he should have shared the driving, but and also it wasn't his fault, was it? All of the things going on in the car, it was all down to the beef stew again. Oh, bean stew would have been better with beef stew. We would have no problems. So for those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
Tom's tale at number 10. As soon as I got to the hippie Hamlet, I knew that Matt would find it irresistible. basically, as
yes,
a tale.
Love hippie Hamlet confessions, anything involving those. I'm going to forgive, obviously. I forgive anyway, so, you know.
What, yes, even really hippie Hamlet?
No, because this is against the hippie Hamlet, isn't it? So I'm going to be relishing the fact that, as it turns out, not everything revolves around you, hippie Hamlet.
And their bean stew.
Having a waz in with the hippies.
Okay.
I think that's what it's right comes down to. Anyway, number nine, that was number 10. So now we go to number 9 and heading to the skies for Kevin's confession from July, a smile as bright as sunshine, where everyone learnt that you shouldn't always say, I'll have what she's having.
Simon Mayo's
Best of the Confessions podcast
from Greatest Hits Radio.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession has a 12 certificate, I think. Although, does it really? No.
Oh, right. Wait, I mean, you're in charge.
PG? I'm not sure. Anyway, it comes from Kevin, and we're flying high with this one. Oh. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother Matt, and the congregation of the airwaves. I come to you today in the hope of receiving absolution for something I did many moons ago, when I had both youth and a rather large dose of immaturity on my side.
Oh, no.
Once upon a time, in a land around 5,000 miles away, I worked as a cabin crew member for a well-known airline. At this point, Kevin gives so many clues, he might as well just name the airline.
Yeah, okay.
But we don't need to know.
Oh, right. Doesn't matter, does it?
Well, okay. If you need to know, let's just say BOAC.
Okay, they don't exist.
Because they don't exist anymore. Just in case you need an airline to mention. On one particularly busy night flight, cruising high above the clouds in the small hours, I was making my way down the aisle when a polite lady passenger asked if she could speak with a female member of the crew. Requests like this weren't uncommon, so I smiled my most professional cabin crew smile, nodded and trotted off to the back galley to fetch a colleague. After a quick chat with the guest, my female colleague discreetly opened the amenities container and handed her something small, private, and shall we say, personal. I thought nothing more of it and carried on with my duties. A short while later, I was stopped by a...
Wow, go on.
I was stopped by a gentleman seated a couple of rows behind the lady. He leant in and said to me in all sincerity, "Excuse me, I'd like the same thing the lady got." Now, it didn't take a Nobel Prize winner to guess what the lady had requested at 4 a.m. at 39,000 feet from a female crew member. But the gentleman's confidence threw me. Perhaps he knew something that I didn't. Wasn't sure. So ever the obliging host, I dutifully returned to the galley, retrieved the same item, passed it to him.
No.
No questions asked, no judgment made. I didn't know what he planned to do with it, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know either. Fast forward to the soft glow of the cabin lights being raised for breakfast. And there, in full view of half the cabin, was our friend in seat 28C, sound asleep, sporting a sanitary towel across his eyes like an improvised eye mask. Wings out.
Wings out.
Placement precise. Dear Father Simon, in that moment I was torn. On the one hand, I felt as though I should wake him and quietly explain the misunderstanding. On the other, that would only draw attention to the fact that I had supplied the item in the first place. So, instead, I said nothing. I served orange juice and croissant with a smile, and I let him sleep on in blissful ignorance that 150 people were laughing hysterically at this sight. He disembarked none the wiser, and my fellow crew members and I did what any mildly wicked airline crew would do. We laughed ourselves silly on the crew bus back to base. So I come before you now many years later asking for forgiveness for allowing one of my passengers to cross continents wearing an ultra-thin winged eye mask. I didn't mean to lead him astray, but in the end, I simply couldn't face the awkwardness of the truth. Yours apologetically, a penitent purser with a guilty giggle. Son Kevin, a former cabin crew member. Well, it was It's a kind of a sitcom situation again, and I can see what Kevin's dilemma was. He wanted one, so why shouldn't he give one? Sister Susie, what do you say?
Oh, Kevin, that really made me laugh. The wings out bit was...
Placement precise.
Yeah, very, yes. Very funny. I don't understand why he couldn't just ask for an eye mask. If he wanted an eye mask, why couldn't he just say, can I have an eye mask, please? I'd like to go to sleep. Also, once he got it, how did he keep it on his face? There wasn't any string anyway. I think that he probably was asking for it, but you were a bit immature, and maybe I should be sensible and say not forgive, but very, very funny, and I am going to forgive you, Kevin.
Forgive, brother Matthew. Funny.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to forgive. That's the best one we've had this week. Superb. I think that's a very human thing, isn't there? When you see someone else getting something for free, you think, I'll have one of those.
I'll have what she's having.
Yes, thanks very much. Oh, it's that? Fine, I'll just put it on my eyes. So why not? Why? I mean, maybe he knew exactly what was going on, but it seems unlikely. Definitely going to forgive.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
This is part one of the top 10 confessions countdown of 2025. And in at number eight, it's a classic sibling prank that takes a very dark twist. We head back to March for Drusilla's tale, Sisters of No Mercy.
Something to confess.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
A confession which comes from Drusilla. Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, after listening to the sisters' confession recently, it spurred me on to write mine. As ever, whether your good listeners feel moved to forgive will depend on where they sit in their families and whether they have siblings older than they are. I, says Drusilla, am one of 14 children.
Wow.
14?
7 boys and 7 girls. This, I believe, is very unusual. I can only think that we were all such wonderful children that our parents just wanted more of the same. Mm. A bit like eating a box of Maltesers. Who stops after one or two? No one, that's who. So if your parents stopped at one or two, what does that say about you? Which is a reasonable question, actually.
Right?
I never thought of it like that.
As you can imagine, there were many pranks, one being my younger sister asking me to see how far I could kick a ball, which I did, not knowing that she'd filled it with rocks.
Good.
Ouch.
This is not something you should do, and it was very painful at the time, but latterly I forgave her for her cruelty. You see, I'm setting an example, tough but fair. I've read recently of some football manager, who, complaining about his players having to kick the wrong kind of ball.
Right.
Well, they should try a ball full of rocks, fancy manager guy. See what your millionaire players make of that.
That's a bit of a sidebar. Anyway.
The worst thing that we did following this incident was to one of our younger sisters, Pippa. Shall we call her Pippa? Let's call her Pippa.
Yeah.
Pippa loves sweets. To be honest, she was a little greedy at times. Sherbet pips, chocolate limes, mint humbugs, all her favourites. Also, aniseed balls, licorice sticks and jelly babies and chocolate, every kind of chocolate, sometimes all at once. We were in our bedroom when she came in and we said we had a mint for her. She proceeded to put it in her mouth and went to chew on it. After a while, we then told her it was a mothball.
Oh.
So she spat it out quickly.
Yeah.
A look of disgust on her face. My sister then said to her that because it was poison, she would be dead by 6 o'clock.
Oh, what? 6 o'clock. Right. Oh, 10 minutes. Yeah.
She believed us and was quite disappointed to discover this fact as we had a Sunday school outing to Bournemouth on Saturday.
Right.
I'm not sure why we said 6 p.m. exactly as the time when she wasn't going to make it, but anyway, it sounded very definite. And we kept the story up for hours until my dad asked us why our sister was crying and upset. Pippa then explained that as she'd eaten a mothball, thinking it was a mint because her siblings had told her it was, she was apparently going to die at 6 p.m. Looking back, it does seem such an evil thing to do, but we were young and we didn't know any better. And she was an annoying little sister as well.
True.
As you can imagine, my dad was not happy with us. And mothballs are indeed toxic to humans, containing naphthalene or paradichlorobenzene.
Wow.
So we were very bad children indeed. hope you can forgive my sister and I for such unkindness towards our younger sister. Well, I guess I can't really imagine what it must be like to live in such a vast family and to have so many siblings to try and get on with. But this does seem spectacularly cruel by the sisters, and maybe a recurring theme, because that's basically what happened with our last sister's confession, with someone playing dead and the other sister having to run for the ambulance. So what do you say, Suze? I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, I agree with her on the Malteser fact. I think you can't, no one just has one Malteser. You do grab a handful and you keep going.
Does the Malteser box and family planning, do they have much in common? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I can't imagine having 13 siblings, though. That is crazy. But
Christmas very expensive.
Yes, I am a younger sister, and I do feel like that was very cruel. And you know, even if she loved sweets and she was very annoying, she was still your sister. You could have been mean without telling her she was going to die. And for that fact, I'm afraid I can't forgive.
It's the kind of thing that if that had been like an office encounter, I don't think we'd have read it out because it would have been too cruel and it was like bullying. But when it's all sisters and all family together, you're going to think, this kind of thing happens.
I think what saves it, though, is saying you're going to be dead by 6 o'clock. I like that. I like that a lot. So, 14 kids. May I suggest that mum and dad find something else to do overnight?
Like eat Maltesers.
Game of Cluedo, something like that?
No.
No Cluedo.
I'm going to forgive because, obviously, the younger sibling, very irritating. You've got to find some way of getting back at them, being all cute and hogging the attention. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Okay, well, it was quite a shocking tale. Drusilla and her sister's confession. In at number 8, I guess if you're one of 14 children, you are going to have lots of opportunity to prank your siblings. But I would imagine that, again, as we say, it all depends where you are in the sibling pecking order.
It does, doesn't it? Yes.
And you are where?
I'm top, as in firstborn, as in...
That doesn't make you
most,
top.
It does make you top. I think it makes you top. Firstborn, most responsible.
Most annoying.
Yes. Yeah. Also in charge, that kind of thing. All those people who were born first all know instinctively what I'm talking
You're
about.
You're the younger, I think.
I am the younger. Yeah. 4 years younger.
Suze, where are you?
Younger. Of three.
Okay.
And where are you?
I'm the middle of three. So we've got like all
the whole thing,
all bases
we? Yeah.
covered. But wherever you are in the pecking order, that was cruel.
Right.
It was cruel.
I mean, it was funny after a number of years have passed. Anyway, lots of sibling confessions for this new year. Please, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. On with the chart, number 7 finds George's rowing confession, messing about on the river.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from George, brackets, that's my middle name. Father Simon and the ever-evanescently forgiving collective, I've been burdened with the weight of this unfortunate episode in my life for 20 years, and now fall at your feet hoping for a glimmer of redemption. In early 2004, I'd started a new job as a groundsman for a local tree surgery company. After a couple of weeks, one weekend, I was attending a birthday party in our village and I got into conversation with a neighbour called Larry. I was rather exultantly telling him how pleased I was with my new life and how fit and healthy I felt as I filled our glasses with whiskey. Now, unbeknownst to me, I discovered that along with his many other talents, Larry was a rower. Not just any old rower, but the chairman of a local rowing club nearby. Father Simon, I am tall, 6'4" and gangly. Never been into sports and not a competitive bone in my body. But apparently, according to drunk Larry, tall and scrawny is perfect for rowing. So there and then, at that moment, somehow I got press-ganged into joining a rowing club. I arrived the next day. Larry was full of beans. He wasn't the only one. The place was a hive of enthusiastic, welcoming smiles, and Simon, I loved it. I got to choose a time slot that suited me, and Larry dutifully and patiently went about showing me how to get in and out of my skull without pitching headfirst into the icy depths. Within 3 short weeks, I'd taken off my stabilizers and got my rhythm going and was happily turning up at 10 a.m. to keenly row up and down the river, feeling pleased as punch. Never once did I take a plunge. As the weeks flashed by and the weather became more clement, things just got better and better. The river became more and more beautiful as the banks became green. The overhanging trees burst into... Get on with it. Yeah. It was blissful, and I couldn't imagine a nicer way to spend my Saturday mornings. And then there was a girl, and she was called Amy. Amy had the same time slot allocated to her as I did. Hers overlapped mine by half an hour. It meant that for half an hour every week, I shared the river with her and only her. The rowable section of the river is not that long, about a mile and a half, and in places it bends and gets narrower, so one rower goes downstream as the other goes up, obviously passing each other at some point along the way. Now, Father Simon, a single person's skull has a major design flaw. You row facing backwards. You have nobody facing forwards, and it's fast, especially fast when going downstream. So there you are, hurtling backwards as fast as you can on a bendy river with an occasional glance over your shoulder, being your only navigational aid. Anyway, back to Amy. She was very, very, very pretty. But had a disgustingly handsome boyfriend who strutted around the clubhouse in very tight clothing. However, she was a joy to share the river with, and with every time we crossed, she greeted me with a beautiful smile and a hiya. And I returned a greeting with a rehearsed smile, and I looked cool. Then for the duration that we rode away from each other, I'd vainly attempt to look fitter and younger than I actually am, until one of us went round a bend, at which point I just let it all drop. So there the stage is set. It's a lovely late summer's day, a Saturday morning as normal. The university types who are positively dripping with muscles and untainted enthusiasm about how wonderful they were. Ugh. They were around and I hung about until they'd shoved off and was happy to have the place to myself. I did my stretches, got my place and using my oars carefully pushed myself off. After a couple of warm-up lengths, I started upping my pace. The current was reasonably fast this day, so getting upstream was quite hard work. However, coming downstream was fun, and the riverbank whooshed past as I constantly checked over my shoulder where I was going. And it happened at the bend. Checking over my right shoulder, I saw a familiar head of shining blonde hair materialize. Glancing over my left shoulder, I noticed the bank getting closer, which meant I was coming into the bend. Fixing a winning smile, I made the adjustment and pulled on my oars. We crossed on the bend. I looked over to Amy with my winning smile and was greeted with her normal radiant smile back at me. Hiya, you all right? She said. At that moment, I was all right. A little distracted, but was good. And then something changed. Her face contorted. It wasn't a smile anymore. She was laughing. What could she be laughing at? I realized that in my hesitation, I'd not checked over my left shoulder. I whipped my head around, and it was true, I was very close to the shore, but I was going fast. I wildly dug my right-hand oar into the water and pulled the skull around. It was fine, but I wasn't going to hit the bank. And it was at this point that I noticed many strange things. Looking at my oar, I noticed that there was a strange powdery substance floating on the water surface. Indeed, there was a sort of thick, hazy dustiness hanging in the air. What is that? I'd stopped rowing and I looked to my left. I thought, what on earth are those old people standing on the riverbank for? And why are they dressed so formally? And what is that man doing standing at the water's edge? And why do they look so upset with me? And what actually is this funny taste in my mouth?
Oh, no.
My oars sagged. Open-mouthed, I just sat there panting at the mercifully quick current dragging me away, and the dusty remnants, they went away too, because, Father Simon, as my mind processed what had just happened, I realised I had inhaled a dead person.
What?
They had been throwing ashes of a loved one into the river.
Oh, my goodness me.
And I had inhaled half of it. I half choked, half gagged and spontaneously. And laughed. I couldn't help it. It wasn't a loud laugh. It was a mirthful laugh. It was just a response to a ludicrous situation in my weak defence. How could I have known? I drifted and rather soullessly rowed the short distance back to the club, the wind in my sails extinguished. I disembarked, rather frantically dusting myself off. And then I had a very, very long shower.
Oh, dear.
It's an image that has never left me and a taste I will never forget.
No!
Oh,
and no, I never rowed again.
Who
do I seek forgiveness from? Well, I'm genuinely sorry. I hope that in time the old people got to see the funny side of it. In the end, the person whose ashes were being scattered really did get the last laugh. Thank you for reading my sorry tale. Well, and poor old Amy got forgotten there. I thought it was going to be some kind of catastrophe with Amy, but no, it's a dead person. Well, it took an unexpected twist. What do you say, Sister Suze?
Well, well, George, like, I kind of, I'm on his side, really. Like, how are you supposed to see where you're going if you're facing the wrong way? So I do think maybe there is a slight design flaw, but I feel like he was too distracted by Amy to pay attention to what he should be doing, and he didn't look over his other shoulder, and therefore, if he had, he would have seen them, and I don't think I can forgive him for that reason.
Yes, it's the elderly mourners who might have been annoyed, I suppose. But what do you say, brother?
Yeah,
Matthew?
I didn't see that one coming at all. Neither did George, as it turned out. No. But isn't sure. I mean, why are they're scattering the ashes a bit willy-nilly, aren't they? I mean, they know that all these rowers keep coming past. It's the run. It's where the rowers always row. And yet they've gone out there and they've tossed about with the ashes. and then of course your man has caught it in his face. So that's not on. So I'm on his side there, very much forgiving. A bit sad that the Amy thing didn't happen. I was thinking that was going to be a nice meet cute, as the kids call it. But turns out it didn't. She went off with Skinny Man and his dripping muscles. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast.
So what we learn from this confession and many other confessions involving ashes is, in an ideal world, don't chuck them.
Don't chuck them.
No, don't chuck them. Place them into the ground, or, you know, because otherwise you might get some in your face.
Yes, no, that is true.
So you have to be particularly careful.
Avoid the scatter.
Is that what it's referred to? Is it avoid the scatter? Okay. Well, this is a very important thing that we've learned. Part one of the top 10 confessions countdown of 2025. The final confession of this podcast takes us back up to May. It was one that Susie had marked as not suitable, because she reads them first and passes on the ones that are suitable to me, but she marked this one up as definitely not suitable. But with a little editing, we did make it work. Although, as you're about to hear, I knew what was coming and so started to laugh and almost didn't make it through. And Matt was slightly confused.
Yeah, I had no idea what was coming, yeah.
Anyway, this is Jane's tale, Saddle Up and Ride Your Pony. Saddle Up and Ride Your Pony.
Simon Mayo's
Best of the Confessions podcast
from Greatest Hits Radio.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession came when Susie sent them over. This one she'd written at the top. I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is going to have to be for the podcast.
Really?
So things have been removed.
Right. Okay. It's been cleaned up. Good.
It's been cleaned up.
Yep.
It still has a 12.
Yeah.
12, I think, kind of certificate. Anyway, it comes from Jane. Jane says, Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie and the Drive Time team, I definitely do not want my real name used, as my husband was embarrassed enough at the time, and if this story came out with my real name, he would never leave the house again. Therefore, I'll call myself Jane.
Jane.
This story starts when my family and my sister's family went on a lodge holiday in Lincolnshire in 2017. While we were there, my sister and I decided to book a hack at some nearby stables. A hack is basically a ride outside of the equestrian centre around fields, roads, woods and so on. For anyone who doesn't know, these are Matt's people, the horsey people.
Horsey.
Matt knows all about this.
Yeah.
We had brought all our riding gear with us on holiday in preparation. My sister is a very experienced rider, but I had only started... Sorry.
You've lost me. Right, she's an experienced rider, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I'd only started horse riding again.
Why? This makes no sense.
I haven't got there yet.
No, I know, it's coming up.
About 7 years previously... I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
I'd ridden as a child until I'd had a bad fall after a horse bolted when I was 10 years old. It had scared me, but I escaped with bruises. I was still slightly scared of horses, but enjoyed it nevertheless. I hadn't been again for a few years at this point, though I was very excited, but also slightly nervous. The day came and we arrived at the stables ready to meet our assigned horses. The lady who ran the stables... wasn't the warmest person ever, took us to our horses. My horse was a fair size, big enough that I had to stand on a few steps to get on him. The saddle was beautiful, not the normal leather ones. This one was suede. Ooh. And looked like new.
Nice.
I thought to myself that it must have been very expensive. Anyway, off me and Sis went with one of the staff into the training ring initially to have a little warm-up and practice, which wasn't too bad, but it was decided that although we had a canter in the ring, we wouldn't gallop at any point as I was too nervous. It suited me. We then set out on the training ring and started heading off across fields.
You obviously know what's coming up. I have no idea what's coming up.
Good. First was the guy on his horse, then my sister, and then me. It was a beautiful day, and the scenery was perfect. I was sitting astride my horse, feeling like Calamity Jane. The name was apt due to what happened next. I will at this point explain to anyone who isn't familiar with postnatal ladies' flooring.
Oh, right. That's where we are, is it? Okay. Oh, yeah. That's when the suede comes into its own.
Not a sentence I've ever said before. Yeah. If you haven't had a baby out of the sunroof, you are given exercises to tighten things downstairs. Obviously, the pelvic floor becomes less firm the more babies you have, and I was four down. I was also in my 50s. Anyway, the lad leading us all of a sudden said, "Let's trot for a while." Mm. So we kicked our horses on. The sudden lurching forward caused things to unfold that I wish hadn't unfolded.
Okay. Yeah.
My sister jumped down, but I didn't. I was mortified. She asked me if I was getting off, and I told her I couldn't. There was no getting away from it. I was going to have to own up to the owner. And I came out and I told her precisely what had happened. She pursed her lips and said, "That saddle belongs to one of the ladies who bought her horse here." I apologised again, and my sister and I quickly went to her car, leaving the centre's owner to deal with the saddle.
Oh.
We drove back to the lodge in hysterical laughter most of the way back, and I've got to admit, I am also laughing at this point. We arrived back at the lodge and explained to my husband what had happened, and he clearly wished he hadn't bought me an anniversary card the day before. So there you have it. I don't want to apologise to the haughty stable owner, who shouldn't have been using a customer's saddle anyway, but I would like to apologise to the woman whose saddle it was and the poor horse, who hopefully came out of it unscathed. Hopefully you can find it in your hearts to forgive me, as I did apologise. And when you got to go, you got to go, yeah. Especially if you've got no control. If only you had some ads on Greatest Hits Radio, which for women like me. Yeah. From here on, no trampolines and no horse riding. Well, we've learned something every day, and this is an interesting tale from Jane, not her real name. Well, I got through it in the end.
You did.
You did.
What do you say, Sister Susan, to Jane?
Oh, well, Jane, I think, you know, it's a tricky situation, isn't it? Would you have gone horse riding had you been questioning your bodily functions?
I don't know.
But well, you probably did. She said she was four children deep, and that has effects. And I think, you know, whether you've had a child out of the sunroof or not, whether you've had a baby or not, you should do your exercises. And maybe that's what we've all learned here. But I do feel like the stable owner shouldn't have been using that saddle, because it wasn't hers to lend out, and it was suede. That's never going to be the same again, is it?
No one needs a suede saddle, do they?
I don't know. Maybe sounds quite posh, doesn't it? But I think she's thoroughly embarrassed enough, and she gets my forgiveness, because I don't think I think I would have sat on that horse for a bit longer and not moved if that was me. So yeah, she did well.
There was more detail to be provided.
Really was.
I took that out. Brother Matthew.
Okay, so I'm going to forgive because obviously, I mean, the design flaw in making a saddle out of suede, because, you know, that's not supposed to get wet. And I mean, it's going outside even without the unflooring. Or whatever, unfolding. Even without that, it was going to get wet. So maybe it's down to the saddle people. Maybe take that on board. And also the woman. Yeah, she wasn't very nice. And the husband with the card. Great stuff. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Okay.
Something to confess.
Simon Mayo's Best of the Confessions podcast
from Greatest Hits Radio.
Yes, and I suppose some people might have got some of those extra special pants for Christmas as a little extra.
For Christmas?
Who's getting those?
Goodness me.
Well, it might help you with your
with your
problematic moments.
For starters, you'd have to tell somebody that that was a problem, and then they'd have to buy that for you for Christmas. Everything about this
is wrong.
But what I liked, with most confessions, you can sort of judge where they're going. And you know what's coming around the corner. And that's absolutely fine. But occasionally you get ones like that where you were going,
no idea
what is happening.
Something is coming around the corner, you're finding it hilarious, we haven't got a clue yet.
And as it turned out, it was that confession which makes it at number 6. Jane's Tale brings us to the end of part one of our Confessions Countdown. Don't forget, of course, you can feature on the show, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. And the great thing is you can now listen to part two. You can go and find it precisely where you got this podcast, because numbers 5 to 1 are there and waiting for you. Until then, from everybody here, we say a warm and genial goodbye, don't we, Matthew?
Yes, and we say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
2nd of Jan.
And yes. Happy New Year to you, Susie, in the pub.
Happy New Year to you.
Still no enthusiasm there.
The degree of coldness.
Sue doesn't really wish us a Happy New Year at all.
Happy New Year.
She's just had enough.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
there you
go. Okay.
At last, we can move on.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Saddle up and ride your pony.
Mm-hmm.